Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe and today is our 50th episode. I think I need a coffee. I think that I should probably, there should probably be celebratory coffee for the 50th episode. But that's a bit of a lie. I mean, nobody needs an excuse for coffee, right? It's all right. I got my coffee now. Everyone's safe. So this week I thought that I would talk about a really big issue that comes up all the time in our coaching programs, in the community group, and really for anyone who is starting anything or attempting to create a habit, and it's motivation. So when people ask me about motivation, I actually think about that scene in the Avengers movie where Bruce Banner is talking about his secret in terms of changing into the Hulk, and he says the secret is I'm always angry. So, you know, you can't do a lot about not feeling motivated, but whatever it is, you can just do it anyway. I mean, I think the secret to motivation is that you're never really going to feel like it. And I know that's not something that people want to hear. I want to hear that they're, you know, like bouncing out of bed in the morning, feeling super motivated and super psyched. And I guess sometimes you will feel like that. But for the most part, the night before, you will feel motivated, and the morning of, you will not feel motivated. But there are things that you do every day, all day, that you don't need motivation for. And, you know, like, so for me, the things that I do all the time that I don't, you know, I never feel motivated to cook dinner. I never feel motivated to, you know, fold up washing. Yeah, there are just a whole, you know, the whole range of things like on the admin side of the business that I never feel motivated to do. But they're all things that have to be done. And in my mind, they are a necessity. So I don't spend time thinking about, do I feel motivated to cook dinner or not, because it's just something that has to be done. And I think it's sort of more about making that transition to responding to whatever you want to achieve in fitness in the same way, in that, you know, your brain will tend to want to have that conversation of, should I go or should I not go, or I could go tomorrow or I could do this. But you have to kind of stay in that position of, it's actually not a conversation. This is not like not something that you're going to talk yourself out of or talk yourself into, because it's just happening and it's set. But I think the really interesting thing about motivation actually comes down to two areas. One is where motivation actually comes from, and the other is sort of like some of the competing aspects of motivation. So people tend to think of dopamine as the reward hormone that kicks in once you do something good. Then you sort of get, you know, happy feeling with, you know, your reward hormones. But actually, it happens before that. Dopamine is the thing that kicks in when you anticipate a reward, and it is the thing that will drive you to go and do the thing to get the reward. So usually, when you're starting something, this works out really well because the rewards are usually very, very high. You feel awesome about yourself. You're seeing really huge improvements week to week, and everything is going great. So your brain processes that information as high reward for doing this thing. Therefore, dopamine is going to continue to peak. But what happens is, because, you know, fitness, like so many other things, is not linear in any way, shape or form, eventually those really big gains that you have initially are going to drop off. And then your brain starts, you know, sort of balancing, going, well, this is the reward I'm likely to get. I don't know if that's worth it. And, you know, sort of like dopamine will sort of take a nosedive at that point, and then you become less likely to do the thing because your brain is perceiving the reward as less worthwhile. So the key to, in that scenario, is then to start looking at ways that you can perceive the reward of what you're doing outside of really sort of specific results. I mean, and for me, probably the easiest way to do that is, you know, I seen going for a run or going to CrossFit as the reward in and of itself. You know, I love improvements, and probably, and you know, as much as I love a PB as much as the next person, but I also really love it when I'm just sort of, I'm doing, you know, my easy loop and that feels easy. That in some ways that's so much more rewarding than those one-off things that happen, because that is something that I'm actually going to feel on a day-to-day basis, as opposed to the PB, which now, because I've been, you know, running for probably about 6 years, few and far between, and I have to work a lot harder for them. So those sort of day-to-day rewards in some ways I perceive as greater than those sort of like once every year or two type rewards that I get with a PB. But in the beginning, it is really hard to see the run on its own as the reward, because it's really hard. And so in those early stages, you do have to get a little bit more creative about how you are going to sort of maintain that positive relationship with it, because it is really hard. So for me, probably I just tried to separate myself out of this, you know, good run, bad run sort of mentality, particularly in the beginning, not sort of try to have this sort of like moral value associated with it, and just treat it as practice. And there was benefit in the practice. There was pride in doing something that was hard, and there was always pride in finishing. And I think for me, that is how I managed to maintain my sense of reward as relatively high, is I was always happy to have it done, very, very happy to have it done. And almost in some ways, the harder it was, the more happy I was that I actually got through it. But there are also a whole other range of ways that you can do that as well. I can remember when I'd been running for a while and I wanted to start going to CrossFit and strength training, and I found it so hard to do any strength training at home, and I just couldn't get into it by any stretch of the imagination. And even though I knew, much like running, I should just do it, I just never did, because I didn't really enjoy it, and I guess my sense of reward with it was so low that it was just something that never got done. Which is also a great thing to keep in mind with motivation, is things that you love to do, you do not need motivation for. Those are the things that just happen no matter what. So if you are struggling with something, oftentimes it's a good time to look at it and go, okay, what about this am I really not enjoying? What is hard about it? Why? You know, is there something else that I could be doing that I would be really, really enjoying, and really sort of taking a step back? But for me, with the strength, I knew it was something that was going to benefit my running, but it was just something that I really struggled to enjoy at home, whereas now I love doing it at home. So it is something that changed over time. But the easiest way for me to establish a good reward pattern with it was, firstly, to pay money so that I was paying for something 3 times a week, because then I would definitely go. And also I would be there with other people, so that social environment was a reward in and of itself as well. Which kind of leads to the other issue that surrounds motivation, which is you can really break your brain down into your current self and your future self. And your current self finds it really easy to make plans with long-term benefits for your future self, but has a really hard time implementing them, because long-term rewards don't hold a lot of sway with your current self. They're like immediate rewards. And if there's no immediate reward, then you're just not going to do it. And so in that sort of challenge of priorities between current and future, you have to find a way to bring those potentially future rewards into a current time frame, so that they'll get done, because, you know, your current self isn't particularly keen on going out and running sprints so that, you know, so that your half marathon will be a lot more comfortable in 3 months. Your current self would much rather stay home and eat popcorn and watch Netflix. So it's also about how you manage those two things. And there are sort of a range of ways that you can do that. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people works well for a lot of people is like essentially temptation bundling. So, you know, if you say, okay, I'm not going to sit down and have my coffee until after I've come back from my run, or I'm only going to listen to my favorite podcast when I'm out, you know, on my run, or I'm not going to watch this episode of my favorite TV show until I've done my nightly yoga, or whatever it is, so that you are taking something that is rock solid, that you would never skip out on, that you do not need motivation for whatsoever, and you are marrying it to something else that you're trying to work on. And alternatively, you can sort of add in some more consequences for if you don't do the thing that you're trying to work on. And so that might be by hiring a coach, because, you know, I know that things really changed for me when I hired I work with a nutrition coach, and that was huge for me because, for one, I was paying her every month, and so, you know, like anyone who signs up for anything like that, you want to get value for money, so there's no point in signing up for something and then not doing it. So I was automatically in a position of being, you know, like quite dedicated to everything that she asked me to do. And another thing that kind of scenario creates, whether you do it through a coach or through a community support group or whatever it is if you have some kind of mechanism for accountability, then there is going to be a consequence if you start dropping the ball, even if that's that you arrange with a friend to go run park run, or you arrange with a friend to go to a fitness class or whatever it is, you are far less likely to cancel on them than you are to cancel on yourself. And probably the final thing that is interesting too about motivation is it actually thrives on unpredictability, which is sort of like, so anything that has the potential to become addictive in a lot of ways has to be unpredictable. And there are loads of ways that you can inject that sort of that variety and unpredictability into your training, whether it be having someone else write your training plan for you, or going to group classes where you don't know what the structure of the workout is going to be before you get there, or boot camp, or whatever it is. There are plenty of online programs where they release, new workouts every week. All of that sort of stuff is going to help with maintaining your level of motivation, because you never know what to expect. And also another great thing to work on is having goals that are regular and are achievable, and not, you know, have that big goal, that big overarching goal, but have lots of little goals and little steps along the way, so you are constantly getting feedback about your progress, and have them in sort of in different areas, if that makes sense as well. So not just my goals are all about, you know, this pace, or all about this distance, or, you know, all about, you know, this particular event or whatever it is, because if they're all sort of focused in one section, if something happens, then the whole thing can fall apart a little bit too easily. So, you know, you might want to have some goals about, you know, like working on your, you know, like working on your PB pace. You might want to have some about a certain amount of distance in a month, or, you know, like a certain amount of progress in, you know, your training plan, or, you know, whatever it is, but have them be sort of like wide and varied goals and regular, so every 2 to 4 weeks, so that you are just constantly getting positive feedback about what you're doing, so that you can maintain your investment in what you're doing as well. think actually the biggest lesson that I learned in motivation wasn't from running, even though in the beginning that was really, really hard and it took a long time before anything felt easy and I got, you know, had to have that will I, won't I go conversation about 5 million times. All of that being as it was, probably my biggest lesson actually came from quitting smoking, which I did many, many times. But it was actually not the sort of, you know, like the long-term benefits of not smoking. Like I wrote all of them down and they helped. I had all on like post-it notes all over the house. Like I want to save this amount of money a year. I want to be, you know, comfortable in social situations, you know, without having to figure out like where I can go for a cigarette. You know, I want to be able to be playing with my kids and not thinking about sneaking off to have a cigarette. All of those things. And they were everywhere and I would read them every time I was feeling like I wanted a cigarette. But actually what was the deciding factor was I just got really sick of quitting. Like it was awful. Like 2 weeks of quitting is awful enough, but having to do it multiple times over and over and over again. And in the end, the most motivating thing was when I was struggling with it, I was like, I never want to have to do this again. I never want to have to quit again. It's really, really hard. I feel really, really awful. You know, I'm really irritable for 2 weeks. Like I'm on edge and, you know, all of this sort of stuff that happens, and then to just go back and, you know, no matter what happens, eventually I'm going to have to do it again and it's going to suck just as much next time, so I might as well just go through that hard part now. And I think that a lot of that can also apply to anything, any change you're trying to make, is that you have to get to that point where you get so sick of where you are that you are willing to kind of go through that discomfort to get somewhere where you haven't been before. And with smoking, I had to accept that in a lot of ways, the reason why I'd struggled to quit was not because it's so hard to quit or they're so addictive or, you know, like all of that sort of stuff, but because it was serving a purpose for me to be a smoker. And I had to sort of come to grips that it was giving me something that I needed, and there was a part of me that didn't want to quit, and I had to face up to that part of myself where I was having all of these needs met, and in some ways smoking was working for me in terms of, you know, as anxiety relief, in terms of, you know, social anxiety and general anxiety, and also in terms of as a way to deal with emotions in general, and, you know, even just as a way of sort of like having time out, you know, like, and sort of starting to have to create those habits of I can have time out even if I'm not having a cigarette, you know, starting to create, you know, habits around relaxation, dealing with stress and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But I also did have to face up to the fact that the reason why I hadn't quit was because it was working for me. And it might not have been working for me in an overall sort of like positive way, like health or anything else, but in some ways it was working for me. And then at a certain point, it started to not work for me so well. But there were still elements that were definitely fulfilling needs within myself. And that's sort of the thing that I had to reckon with when I was quitting. And change is the same. It's, you know, staying the same is hard, changing is hard, and you get to a certain point and you just got to pick one. And it's not just once that you've got to pick it. It's like 1,000 decisions. You know, like it's easy to kind of think of changes, like I just did this and then it all happened. But it's a million decisions every day after that, which is why it's so hard. And, you know, there's always going to be ups and downs and, you know, crests and troughs and all of that kind of stuff. But every time you say if your thing is wanting to have running be a regular habit or anything be a regular habit, every time you make that decision to do it, your brain then makes the next decision to do it that little bit easier. And so for the first bit, it's like it's a superhuman effort to get out the door. But eventually it just gets easier and easier and easier. And it's so sort of incremental, you don't really notice it, but it will happen. And you can know that that will happen in the future. And you just have to push through this bit that's hard, because the alternative isn't less hard. It's just different. I'd normally talk about what I've been up to this week, but mostly it's been recovery from the half marathon. It's mostly been, you know, sleeping and eating. I did go back to CrossFit, been doing some easy running, you know, getting back into weights again. But yeah, it's not overly exciting, although the sleeping and eating were pretty exciting. That has been good. On the weekend, there is going to be an Operation Move team at Jetty to Jetty. So if you are around, look out for us and come and say hello, because we would love to see you there. I'm doing the half, so I have to get there at 6, which means leaving home at, I don't even want to say it out loud, but it rhymes with free. And so we'll be doing that on the weekend. So I look forward to seeing some of our community members there, which would be fantastic. And after having had a bit of a hiatus of Learn to Run over July, we've got our next group starting in August. So the Facebook group for that has already been set up. So if anyone would like to join us for that, you can sign up now. You can use the coupon code podcast for a discount as well. And that will start on the 14th of August, and that will go for 3 months from there. So it's a great time to get into. We should be just getting out of winter by then, hopefully. Well, really, it's not really winter here. I mean, it is for here, but, you know, it's very, very pleasant, which I only get away with because it's so unpleasant in summer. But for now, it is very, very nice running weather where I am. So hopefully if you're in a place that gets an actual verifiable winter, then it will start to be getting quite nice soon. So that's it for this week. If you have any questions at all about anything we talked about, or you want to see who's going to be coming to Jetty to Jetty, or you have some questions about motivation or anything else, you can just pop into the community group, or you can send me an email, and I will be back next week, and I will have an interview with Ness on her 100-kilometer UTA adventure. So that's going to be a fun one. So look out for that one when it comes out too. Bye.